Hello, welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast, where every day we try to take you a little deeper into particularly the Word, but sometimes topics, thoughts, mostly Scripture, as we just try to take a journey through the Bible, different aspects and different parts. I'm Paul White, and I'm so honored to have this platform to be able to do this for the last several years. We've been able to do this 7 days a week, every day of the year, and also to post other things, other videos, audios from our journeys around the world. But this has been a real highlight for me, the DDP, because this allows us to dig in, so to speak, and in a media world in which podcasting is becoming more and more popular. I also find it very gratifying to know that for several years now, we've been at this, continuing to sort of chip away at some of the thought processes and systems that have tried to define theology and Christianity and the ministry, and there are other things that we have yet to really tackle, and some of those we get a lot of requests from, people wanting us to talk about this or that. And some of them I'm in prayerful consideration. Others I leave alone entirely. Particularly, I don't get on my podcast and talk about politics. And we don't give opinions one way or the other on one side of the aisle or the other. And there are some theological topics I've even been very slow to go into because I want to hear the heart of the Lord in my own personal life for revelation. And some things just flat don't intrigue me as well. Just to be very honest, they intrigue a lot of other people. They don't necessarily intrigue me. And in what might be the most unusual thing you've heard me say in quite some time on this podcast, it's my show, and I'm going to talk about the things that interest me, or at least the things that my heart is feeling turned towards. I learned a long time ago that you don't have to answer every question. You have the luxury of being able to say of some questions, I'm not there and I don't want to answer it, or I don't want to go down that road, or I'm not real sure about how I would defend. I have an opinion, but I'm not real sure about how I would defend that opinion. And I think it's beautiful that we have opinions and that we have thoughts about the Word or about God or about politics or whatever, and that we can share them. But I think it's just as beautiful that we don't have to share them. And I think it's incredible that we get so insulted when people do share theirs. I don't agree with a lot of the things I hear, but I don't get insulted by it. And I also don't feel the need to insert my opinion. There was a big ruckus a few weeks ago over some Hollywood, quote unquote, Hollywood elite making a statement about the president-elect or whatever. And this isn't a political statement I'm about to make, just an observation. And some people went crazy that so-and-so had given their opinion about something. And everyone said, we don't care about you or your opinion. This is all we want out of you. And I can't help but be amazed that for a group of people so excited to defend liberty, we are so slow to hear dissenting opinion. And then so quick to make sure that those whose opinions don't agree with ours know that we don't like them anyway. And that's incredible. Honestly, I think that we are better than that. And I think we ought to be able to live in a world in which not everyone agrees with us, whether it is about our politics or our theology. And we ought to have self-respect and respect for others to be able to say, well, it's not my opinion, and I respect that you have yours. But I don't share it, and then be able to move on. I think I'm dealing with a pretty mature audience. I think for the most part, people can accept that. I give you all of that preface because today is one of those moments as we dig into Romans 4:15, the latter half of the verse, where there is no law, there is no transgression, that you can get into some very dissenting opinion. I asked you yesterday to do a little homework and compare that to Romans 5:13, for sin is not imputed when there is no law. Well, that's the end of a verse. The beginning of that verse is, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So people have been doing wrong, but without law, there was no imputation of that wrong. How could God count against them what was not against the law? And so when you read Romans 4:15, where there is no law, there is no transgression, what would happen then if you were to remove the law? Well, the idea is from a lot of Christians that if you remove the law, people will sin like crazy. Yet the Bible says that if there's no law, there is no transgression. And if there's no law, there's no imputation of sins. You see, it was sin's effect that was so deadly, so dangerous. It was the breaching of the law. And it was so beneath the station of a created being in the likeness and in the image of God. And what sin did was gave the idea to man that he was separate from God and separated from God. Well, the law reinforced it, and when you had the law, then you had the breaching of law, and you had guilt and condemnation and shame that came with it. When Christ came to destroy sin's effect, one of the great things he did in destroying sin's effect was to destroy the law, because the law was the strength of sin. And by destroying the law, you could destroy the transgression. We have nothing to transgress. Thus, you could start to define sin in a couple of different ways. If sin is transgression of the law, well, it's obvious that man was sinning when there was no law, because Romans 5:13 says the law, until law, sin was in the world, but sin doesn't count when there is no law. So what is it? I mean, if there's no law and then sin doesn't count, then sin must exist separate from the law. Otherwise, why say there was sin in the world until the law? There couldn't be sin in the world if there was no law. So I think it's obvious that Paul is making a distinction. There is sin that is outside of the law. There's a missing of the mark. What mark is it? I think it's just the mark of being the likeness and the image of God. Pretty simple. That men are doing things outside of the character and nature that they're created to do it. But it counts against them spiritually when there's law. Now that there is no law hanging over mankind, no law saying do this, don't do this, sin is not imputed. Sin is not counted. Thus, where there is no law, there is no transgression. So what Christ did effectively was remove the condemnation mechanism of the law. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. What would be the sin that the Holy Spirit deals with people about? Unbelief. And that's living far below your station. Oh, yes, there's much to be said. There's a lot of roads to go down. There's a lot of trails and a lot of rabbits to chase, so to speak. But I think for purposes of Romans chapter 4:14 and 15, if you're of the law, then you couldn't be an heir, because if it took being an heir, then faith would be void. Promise of God would be of no effect. But the law brings about wrath, and that's what would have to happen if that's the way man was going to live, would have to live beneath the wrath of God. But thank God, where there's no law, there's no transgression. That'll lead you to a very important therefore. The beginning of Romans chapter 4, verse 16, in light of the fact that there's no law, thus no transgression, it frees the way for a world full of faith and grace in Romans 4:16. We'll jump in there tomorrow, and I'll see you then. God bless.